Please turn to 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 3. And when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved them as his own soul. According to verse 1, Jonathan loved David just as he was. Think about it. David was nobody from nowhere. But Jonathan saw something in little David that ignited love in his heart. He loved David just because he was David and for no other reason. The prince, the son of Saul the king, loved the pauper, and his soul was knit with the soul of David. The word knit means to tie, to bind together. There was nothing in David to cause this love to grow, yet it was there just the same. The prince loved the pauper with an uncomplicated love. This is a clear picture of the grace of God. This is a portrait of how we are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. His love for us is not based on our worth or our merit. The Bible is clear. In our natural state, we possess nothing that would commend us to the Lord. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 is clear about this. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What a horrible condition, brothers and sisters, we were in. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See our condition prior to conversion? Sons of disobedience, dead in trespasses and sins, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You see our condition, brothers and sisters? When Christ knit his soul with ours, we possess nothing that would commend us to the Lord, but yet he loved us anyway. He loved us anyway, even when we could not love him because of our sinful condition. He loved us anyway. Look at 1 John 4, verse 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love God. He loved us and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the atonement for our sins. Prior love. Even when we couldn't love the Lord because of our sinful condition, because we were dead in sins and trespasses, he loved us anyway. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. The love God has for you and me is a love that had no beginning, and it'll have no end, and it is everlasting. And he loved us first, even when we could not love him. The love of God found its ultimate expression the day Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. God sent his son to die for a fallen, wayward, sinful race. Turn to Isaiah 52, verses 4 through 6. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord? that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them well, says the Lord. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. He loved us when we were in Egypt, when we were in Assyria, when we were oppressed, when others ruled and reigned over us. And they will know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. God sent his son to die for his people, and he did it all simply because he loved us. God knew that we could never love him like he loved us, but he loved us anyway. He knew that we'd never show our love for him to the same degree, yet he demonstrated his love towards us. He loved us anyway. He knew there was nothing about us that merited his love, but he loved us anyway. He knew that we would trample him and his love under our sinful feet time and time again, but yet he loved us anyway. We'll never understand it, but God's love for us is really very uncomplicated. He loves us because he's God. For God is love. He loves us because that is his nature. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's his nature, brothers and sisters. Love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Not even just love. Paul says, it's great love. He loved us because he's God. He loved us because that is his nature. He loved us with a great love, rich in mercy, great love with which he loved us. This is the picture that we have. In 1 Samuel 18, Jonathan knit his soul to David. And I thank God that his love for us is not based on what we deserve. He loves us simply because it was his choice. He chose to love us. Back to 1 Samuel 18, verse 3, tells us, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved them as his own soul. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Along the way, there were hurdles that developed, which certainly could have derailed their relationship. For instance, Saul hated David and repeatedly tried to kill him. That would break the relationship up. David and Jonathan, the son of Saul, and Saul is trying to kill David. You can see how a relationship may sour between two brothers in the Lord. Jonathan's devotion to David even caused a rift to develop between Jonathan and the father. And he repeatedly took David's side against the king. Repeatedly. Things even became so heated between Jonathan and Saul that Saul actually tried to kill his own son. It's a good thing Saul was a bad shot with that javelin. But yet the Lord was sovereign. Sovereign over the javelin. Sovereign over everything that was going on. But yet in spite of the problems and in spite of everything that happened, Jonathan loved David to the end because his love was unconditional. That is the picture that's being painted in our text. Unconditional love. This is what I'm speaking of today. Unconditional love. The love that God has for his people. Unconditional love. Even when it wasn't easy for this friendship between Jonathan and David to exist, it did. It existed and it flourished because Jonathan refused to allow anything to sever the bond that he had with David. When his soul was knit to the soul of David, it was bound to him for life. The Bible also says that they made a covenant together. 1 Samuel 18:3. A covenant was more than a mere promise. Much more. It was life and death guarantee. God has made a covenant with us, brothers and sisters, to save our souls, to never leave us nor forsake us. That covenant that David and Jonathan had was, it bound them together for life with an oath. They swore to be friends to the end, and they both honored that covenant. When Jonathan was killed in battle, David spoke of his death and spoke of his friendship. Look at the way that David had spoke of Jonathan. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 25 to 27. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. Or for that matter, if it was the other way around, surpassing the love of man. Your love to me was wonderful. That's what David thought of Jonathan's love. How much more the love of God for us, brothers and sisters. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of, if it's a man speaking of women, if it's a woman speaking of the love of man. The love that God has for us, brothers and sisters, is the greatest love that there is. The greatest love. As David speaks, it's clear to see that he speaks of a friendship that he had that was unfailing and unceasing. How much more the love that God has for us. If David could speak that way of Jonathan, that Jonathan's love was unfailing and unceasing, how much more the love that God Almighty has for us. As I said, this is a picture of the kind of love with which God loves us. His love for us is not affected by our behavior. It's not affected by his feelings. It's unaffected by our responses to him. His love is not affected by anything at all. His love is never ending and it's totally unconditional. Unconditional love. This is a beautiful text of unconditional love. There's nothing that you could do that'll make the Lord stop loving you if you're his child. Nothing. I mean nothing can make him stop loving his children. What do you think Romans 8 verses 38 and 39 teaches? For I am persuaded. This is Paul speaking. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing. I think Paul pretty much covers everything. Any created thing, that includes yourself, your created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a soft pillow, brothers and sisters, to lay your head down on about the unconditional love of God. You see, nothing we did made the Lord to start loving us. He didn't start loving us because of something we did. I read to you in Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins, children of disobedience, children of wrath by nature. God didn't start loving us over something we did previously. We didn't do anything to get God to love us, and we cannot do anything for God to stop loving us. Love is a choice that God in his sovereignty makes. It's a choice that he is willing to stand by forever. Thank God for unconditional love. In conclusion, let me remind you. In the Jewish temple and tabernacle, they burned a lamp, a light of sacrifice that never went out. Day and night, summer and winter, it shed its soft and mystic glow within the holy place. In the temple of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a lamp, a light that never went out. The oil that supplied it was never exhausted. No scorn, no hostility, no hatred could ever quench it. That was the light of love. Today, that same light still shines in the darkness of this world. The same light still illuminates the lonely road to heaven. That light still sends its glow into hearts that have been afflicted and plunged into darkness by sin. It still brightens the way for those who are searching for hope in a hopeless world. It still shines to remind us that there is a God in heaven who loves us with an uncommon, uncomplicated, unconditional love. Today, God has reminded us again of this great heavenly truth. Found in Proverbs 18:24, a man that has friends must himself show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That, my friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need that friend today? If you do, you can come to him by faith, and he'll save your soul if you're lost. If you've strayed away from him and have strained your friendship with him, you can return to him and find that he's a faithful friend that always forgives those that come back. If you're carrying a heavy burden, then you need a friend to help shoulder that load. There's no better friend than Jesus. And he invites you to come, whatever the need may be. You that are heavy burdened, you that have never come to him before, you who have strayed away, come to Christ today, for Christ has promised in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a promise from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come to me, all you who labor, ye laboring brother and sister, you're heavy laden, come to him, and I will give you rest. Now that's a brother that sticks, that's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.